The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer. Turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
In the game for the first time, a running back. He angles out. Throw to the end zone, and Dan Wilson has a touchdown. What a start from Mike White and the Jets. A deep drop lets the routes develop. One of his first downfield shots has Dan Wilson. Makes the end zone miss. Turns on the afterburners. He's gone. Touchdown, Jets. New York takes the lead. From 57, Leggett's from the line. Are you kidding me? Second time this season he's hit from 57, matching the Jets' all-time record. On third and four, he'll look to throw. End zone, Moore! Touchdown, Jets! Mike White, how about him?
Yeah, it was a route, but not an unexpected route. I was not shocked one day.
I was not moved by anything. With regard to yesterday's game, I was sad to see some guys get hurt.
That's what I was moved. I was moved by the Darnell Mooney and Eddie Jackson injuries.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was as well, but I'm just saying in terms of performance and outcome, like it was a whole lot of nothing really for me because it was just, there was no real development there.
I was not surprised that Mike White had success against the Bears defense. Not at all.
Mike White has had some moments in the NFL, and his few starts, there have been some high notes for him.
Yeah, and he used his weapons. He got the ball in the hands of some of his playmakers who have been starving after playing with Zach Wilson. So he got the crowd behind him. Trevor Siemian, was Trevor Siemian.
Well, I mean, again, what did anyone think he was going to do as well? You had crappy conditions. You lose Darnell Mooney. Like, he's in a tough spot. He's a backup quarterback. Like, if you had, like, really crazy expectations for what this offense was going to do on yesterday, then that's on you.
A couple of things before we start laying things out that I want to let you know about if you're just getting into your car. Darnell Mooney is most likely done for the year. Matt Eberflus announced today that he will undergo surgery on his ankle. No real closure yet on Eddie Jackson. They did not disclose really what he's got. So we're not sure yet on Eddie Jackson, but it does appear that Darnell Mooney is done for the year. As far as the baseball conversation is concerned, Sox fans have been bracing for this for a while. But
Jose, am I Clevenger signing?
No.
I'm sorry.
Jose Abreu is gone. It is official. Jose Abreu is now a member of the world champion Houston Astros. And what is surprising is it sounds like he's getting close to $60 million.
Good for him.
A three-year deal close to $60 million. One of the Houston Chronicle reporters is reporting that. And then now Johnny Cueto just changed his... his Twitter profile that I just retweeted, and it's a picture of him and Dusty Baker in a mound visit when they were together in Cincinnati Reds uniforms. So whether...
the glory years.
Yeah.
The glory years.
I take this to sound like maybe he's heading to... is he possibly going to Houston?
Isn't this great? You've got a team that is your defending World Series champion... without a general manager, I don't believe, making moves.
Yeah, I don't know that if that is that what you interpret that tweet to mean, or is that just paying homage to Abreu?
Or I don't think that pays homage to Abreu. It's a picture of him and Dusty.
It's him and Dusty. it pays homage
to him and Dusty.
Could this mean that
I'm with you? I think it means that's where he's going. That would be my interpretation of social
Johnny
media.
Johnny Cueto, 28 minutes ago, hashtag new profile pic.
Are you following Johnny Cueto on Twitter?
No, I saw somebody, I think it was Nick, who I follow on Twitter, tweeted it out.
Frito?
No, I want to give him proper Nick Mirakowski. Mirowski, who has a White Sox podcast who I've been
Keep
on
going.
Before, Locked on Sox. I've been on his pod before. He's a good follow on White Sox. And he tweeted it out, and I saw it from Nick.
The Astros signed Cueto. Now I like the Clevenger deal even less now. I'm telling it's like, I don't
with Miller, like, when you start watching other smart teams do things, you're like, hey, why don't we do that? I wouldn't want the White Sox to sign Jose Abreu to a 3-year, $60 million deal. But I'm with Meller. It does make you go, wait.
Yeah,
wait,
it puts
what?
You.
What?
It puts you on. Yeah, you're like a little bit more. Oh boy.
But I think they can pay for. Like that's a luxury that they can.
But why? Why
I don't
can
know.
The Astros pay for that?
Well, that's
the reason why it's like. What are you doing, White Sox? The Astros are. They think something's up here. Sneaky.
Can the
They're
Astros
suspect?
Can the Astros be run better without one general manager than the White Sox can be run with two general managers? And
looks
Kenny
like
and
it.
Rick.
Looks like there's a chance for that.
I don't know what's going on. But that was just
I just think it's funny that the team without a general manager and the defending World Series champions are the ones out there making noise. Let's hear it for the Astros.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
That they just keep on adding.
It is. Keep doing your thing.
So there's that if you're just getting into your car.
Mike Clevenger to the South Side. 1 year, right? 1 year, $6 or $7 million. Wasn't that what it was?
12, I think.
Are you kidding? Really? Is that much?
God, I saw.
Really? Is it 12? Good for him. I'm for everybody getting as much as you can. Like, I'm thrilled that Jose Abreu is getting $20 million a year for 3 years. Good for him. He was nothing but great for the White Sox. It was time to move on from him, from my perspective. You've got nothing but first basemen and DHs.
Mm-hmm.
Time to give, you know, Vaughn an opportunity to man the first base spot or somebody else.
Man the first base spot.
I'm just telling you, like, at what point? At what point are you going to do that?
Why aren't you in a booth?
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Should be.
I think it's 12, which is a lot, actually.
Is it really?
Is it really for a starting pitcher?
Well, I think that might be the eighth biggest contract in White Sox history.
they're taking it in the nuts today, aren't they? By the way,
listen, don't blame us. Blame yourselves.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's where you set the bar. We said the same thing about Chris Bryant. When Chris Bryant was sensitive about people being critical. It was like, Chris, you set the bar up here. You were the Major League, or you were the National League Rookie of the Year. You were the National League MVP. You set the bar up there.
Yeah, we can make all the jokes we want about the Dodgers being frugal. They don't land because the Dodgers aren't cheap.
Exactly.
But they're funny when you start making jokes when they hit a little too close to home.
I'm saying to Miller, like, they have, like, set the bar now where I'm like, I'm saying to Miller, I'm like, hey, Miller, what do you think about Adam Frazier at second base coming off, like, a career low year for his OPS Seattle?
You've been socked. You've been socked.
I'm not even a Sox fan.
You've been socked.
I'm looking for good deals for the White Sox in second. Forget about going back to the Carlos Correa well and moving Tim Anderson or something like that. A real baseball move where you get aggressive.
This is what they do to you, though. They do it so often, eventually you start saying, I could see it. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be bad. Meanwhile, who's stopping them from spending all, you know, getting into the fray for a big money free agent?
You guys. This is what you get. It's not my fault.
I see it with my Bulls fan friends. It's run the same way with Jerry. It's like, hey, Sylvie, Andre Drummond's been a hell of a pickup. You know? What do you want them to do? Who else was available, Sylvie?
Goran Dragic.
Goran Dragic.
Good minutes.
Yeah. Goran Dragic, Sylvie. Drummond and Dragic. What else did you want them to do, Sylvie?
When does it start to heat up on the north side?
I don't know. It's another good question. Like,
You got money. What are you waiting on?
This is what I don't like about baseball. I've said this to you before. Like, what other league is like this? where it's ready, set, go, and then all the general managers go.
Waiting for somebody else to set the market.
We're like, ready, set, go. Well, when's the next meetings?
That's what happens when you don't have an actual salary cap. You've got the luxury tax that teams make act as their salary cap, but then all the agents are like, no. That's not you. You can go into the luxury tax, and so because there's no actual hard figure that teams need to worry about, then you have agents waiting it out.
Is and that this, what it is?
I truly think it's, no, because
so like football, where yes. It does have a cap. So like day one of football free agency, like we've got that tampering period, and we know before free agency starts,
yeah, NBA, got so much space.
We know we're ready to go. And, man, Waddle and I talk for days leading up to hockey free agency.
No doubt.
We're ready to go.
Yes.
When Seth Jones was out there.
His brother was out there, too.
Was trade. That was yes, a trade. Yeah, I remember talking about it a lot.
His brother was a free agent, no? When they signed his brother?
But my point is, in the NBA and in the NFL, when they're ready to go.
No. It was his cousin, Yonder Alonso, right? That's why the Hawks got Seth Jones.
And by the way, your hot stove, your baseball hot stove, the only team tossing coals on the fire is the one without a general manager.
Who won the world championship.
Yeah. Some sport you're a fan of.
What do you mean? It's your favorite sport, too.
Have you seen
up?
That crap that's going on in Cincinnati? They'll drive you out of fandom as well.
It was your first love. That's what
it still is.
I just wish they would say, let's go. Let's get the fans involved here.
Well, what are you?
Who are you signing players for the Astros? Is Dusty Baker like
this
the
one?
This is
my point.
Like,
I don't know.
That's why he texted Johnny Cueto, and he's like, "Hey,
you want to come over?
I got the checkbook right now. You want to come back?
Come on,
change your profile pic."
There's talk, even though he vetoed the Contreras move. There's talk about them signing Contreras too. They're spending money left hand over fist.
Because all the baseball agents are like, hey, the Astros don't have a GM. Let's go get a payday right now.
Heard you guys may be interested in Grandal if he's released by the White Sox.
Jose Abreu's agent's like, you know how I can get you $60 million? Jose Abreu's agent's like, you know how I can get you $60 million? We'll go to the Astros. They don't have
Call
a GM.
Dusty.
They don't have a GM right now.
Dusty's got the checkbook.
Oh, my.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Let's be mad at me all you want. You did this, not me.
Can I play you something from Yurko yesterday? Yurko's all hot on the post game show yesterday. Him and I got into it.
You and him were hot today as well.
We were yelling at each other. Mondays are rough for him too because he's been yelling at everybody after the Bears game. I don't agree with this. I've not heard this though from Sunday. Danny texted us about this from yesterday. The losing culture that the Bears are building. I don't believe this. I believe that's the last thing that happens. The culture is the last thing that is assembled after you have a roster in place. And I believe the Bears are far from having their roster in place. This was Yurko on the postgame show yesterday, right here with Peggy on ESPN 1000.
Ryan Poles has put this team in a position now, with the trades that you had right before the trade deadline, that, he's definitely of the mindset that he wants to have the third pick. If he can sneak up into the second pick and only have three victories, he is more than happy to go about the business and get the highest pick he can, maybe to turn him into more picks. But he is happy. And then when you ask about the coaching staff, you ask me about the coaching staff, I got nothing to say wrong about the coaching staff. What are they going to do? They can't perform miracles. I mean, it's not Helen Keller out there performing miracles, are they? No. There's no miracles. Our Lady of Fatima, it's not going to happen. No. There's no miracles to be performed with this team the way it currently has its players. You had a chance. You had fight. You've taught this team how to lose. That's what you've done. Ryan Poles has gone about the business of teaching his team how to lose, and they got to detoxify it at the end of the year. That's all you can do. You send them through. You shower them up. You put delousing spray on them, and then you go about the business. That's where we're at. Right? That's what they wanted. They pretend like I've got to. I don't have to be interested. I watched the game. I watched it with one eye. I was watching Germany and Spain. This game had zero interest for me. None. When they started going down, first quarter, hey, look, it might be competitive. And then when they started to do what they were going to do, no, it's all right. I've got other options. I can do other things, and I'm going to do other things. And we're going to be able to do other things as this season goes along. I don't know if they're going to muster up an effort against the Packers. I would hope that Justin Fields, when you do beat the Packers, somebody asked me last night, what do you think? Well, I hope Justin Fields is the quarterback that ends up beating the Packers, if that's the way it's going to be. But if they're going to run this team out there to play the Packers next week, it's going to be similar fashion.
See, they're bad because
they don't have a talent.
Because they don't have...
Not only are they talent-free, but then they lost... Think about what they had yesterday. Like, you're limited with options in the passing game. You lose Darnell Mooney, your best receiver. And your secondary is already in trouble because of injuries. Your two rookie starters are out, and then you lose Eddie Jackson.
You got to tear it down. That's what they did. They tore it down. Ryan Poles had to tear down all the misfortune and mistakes that Ryan Pace made. I don't know yet, though. I will say this. I don't know if Ryan Poles is going to be the guy to get it right. But the right move was to tear it down.
I don't think anyone can give you any degree of certainty that they know for sure that Ryan Poles is going to get it right. There's no track record there. He had a nice run with Kansas City, learned a lot. People speak very highly of him. I love his plan. I've said that from the very beginning. A full rebuild, I believe, is what was necessary for this organization, because I think the previous regime kept the coach in place a year too long. We talked about it the whole time. They just delayed the inevitable. And I think what they did is they took their medicine. They're hopefully taking all of their medicine here in 1 year so they can start 2023 with a fairly blank slate. At that point, he will define himself as a general manager in the National Football League with the decisions he makes. Will he hit all of them out of the park? No, it's impossible. You can't do that. You need to hit more than you don't hit. Like, I heard the guys talking today, I believe it, Cap and Jay Hood, was it today? I think I was listening to them talking about, like, Ryan Pace had, what was it, 5 swings at top 10 picks in the first round?
They all missed?
Well, no, Roquan was a hit.
Roquan hit.
And Leonard Floyd was the other one that was considered. They didn't really, you know, I thought that they got something out of him, but he wasn't a home run.
He still didn't see his fifth year.
No, I mean, you've not had a single first round pick in the previous regimes
play out his first contract.
Play out their first contract. You had Kevin White. You had Mitch. And who am the other one that I'm missing?
Floyd and Roquan Smith.
Was that it? There was only 4?
Because he traded
for Khalil Mack.
Or for Khalil Mack. So, like, they have not. They've had a swing at the top 10 quite a bit.
Think of this. Baseball's different, too. But think about Theo. Theo missed. He still won a World Series. Theo's first-round pick, I think, was Albert Almora. That was a big miss. It was a big miss. Guys are going to miss. Even the best, the Hall of Famers, are going to miss first-round picks. But if you take enough swings, if you give yourself enough opportunities, you still should be able to build a pretty good team if you do it the right way. If you look at the successes that we've had in town, the Blackhawks did it the right way. They did a full rebuild with Kane and Taves, and they ended up winning 3 cups.
Draft and develop.
The Chicago Cubs did it the right way. I was arguing with Yurko about it. Yurko was against that the entire way, and he's belly aching about this now. He can't see the forest through the trees. It's going to be painful. No one says it's going to be easy. My mom was against it, the Cubs rebuild. It's not for everybody. But if you do it the right way, you should come out on the other side of things better for it. And the Cubs won the World Series for it. So we had 2 teams in town do it the right way. The White Sox were on to something. When the White Sox finally picked a lane, it's why they actually went to back-to-back postseasons.
Yeah.
For the first time, I think, in their history.
Ever.
It's because they decided to pick a lane and to rebuild. Now, they've come up short here, and we were just making fun of them for the first 10 minutes. But why did they finally get to back-to-back postseasons for the first time in their history? Because they picked a lane, and they scaled it back, and they started a rebuild, and they built a core. And hopefully now, Ryan Poles knows what he's doing with talent. This is the hardest part of the rebuild. The easiest part
is tearing it down.
Is tearing it down.
Thinking about a house. Use a house as an example. If you're completely remodeling a house down to the studs, what's the easiest part? It's the demo part of it.
Right, sure.
Knocking it down, knocking down the walls, knocking down everything. The tough part is building it back up in a fashion that makes you happier than you were when you decided to tear it down.
It's one of the hardest parts for the fan.
Of course.
But as far as the building process goes, the hardest part for the general manager is now the building part. Like, again, this is not fun for fans to go and win three games. I get it. You want to watch your football team. You want to see them compete. But pacifying you with, is it fun to go a decade and to watch 2018
no.
and that's really it?
Was it fun last year when they went to the postseason? Was it last year, two years ago?
2020.
When they went in 2020, they went to the postseason because they extended. They
2020.
Extended, yeah. It was, and you didn't have any belief at all that
no,
they were going to have
it. It was fake.
Yes.
Fake.
You put off
the inevitable.
Yes.
It was hollow. It's hollow.
That's why I'm all for this plan, because this is the way I don't know that I would get it right. This is the way I would do it. I would tear it all the way down to try to build it all the way back up. And he's got his hands full. He's got a lot to work with. He's got a nice budget. He's got a lot of tools to rebuild this thing. But now you got to make the right decisions.
So again, the Jets game was ugly. I don't believe they're building a losing culture. I absolutely do not. The Jets were a losing team for year in and year out, and they decided to tear it down. They made really good draft picks. They don't even have the quarterback yet, and they're still above 500. Now all of a sudden, and they're winning football games. I told you about what Miami was going through a year ago. They had a draft pick taken away. Their owner was accused of tanking.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
The Bengals 2 years ago were a team with
4-11-1
with a first year head coach, a rookie quarterback who had to undergo knee surgery. And they made some good draft picks. And that's a badly run organization that had less success than even the Bears, the Cincinnati Bengals. But what they do, they did it the right way. They didn't need to learn to win. They got better. And then they went to the Super Bowl the next year after a 4-win
game. I think it's the epitome of putting the cart before the horse. Like, am I gonna be upset if you learn how to win sooner rather than later? No. But usually what ends up happening is you improve the talent on your roster. Then you become competitive, and then as a group, as you're building, that's when you learn how to win. But you really don't learn how to win until you have players that can actually help you win games.
Right, and like I said, the reverse can be true, too. The Bucs didn't forget how to win. The Rams didn't forget how to win. There are a lot of teams right now. Did the Packers forget how to win?
No.
Or are they just worse football teams right now? That's fake football talk right there. It's meatball football talk that we hope in 2020 there's a smarter football fan out there today than ones going around saying that the Bears are building a bad culture. The Bears have had a bad culture for 37 years, and that's why they haven't won a Super Bowl. Now they're finally doing things the right way by tearing it down, and hopefully for the first time in years since the 80s, they're on to building some sustainable success.
Well, I don't think you're even going to recognize this roster for the most part when they go to camp in August. I don't. I think that I'll be more concerned about the so-called culture when they have improved the talent on their roster and they're now in position to start competing for a postseason spot. That, to me, is when I'll be more willing to judge them, and it'll have more importance to me.
332-3776 if you want to react to that. And then we've got some new holiday parody songs to debut that we want to do that. And then we'll crosstalk with Black coming up. 312-332-3776.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Has Yurko responded? Yurko has tweeted.
Yes. Yurko has the eagle has landed.
Making
Yurko 2 minutes ago
jokes.
Tweeted. Learning how to win is imperative. Doesn't happen by accident. In 96, a 4-7 Jags team learned how to win, and 7 wins later made it all the way to the AFC Championship. At Waddle and Sylvie, only victories come on the commode after his morning coffee. Hashtag comical. What I said to you is, listen, none of us are telling you that learning how to win is a completely useless trait. All I'm saying is, let's bolster the roster before we worry about whether or not you're building a losing culture. And my guess is, on that Jags team, it was already filled with guys that were having Hall of Fame or eventually had Hall of Fame type careers.
This Bears
was Bocelli on that team?
This team doesn't need to learn how to win. That's what I'm saying. Like, I could show you other teams. Like, what the greatest show on turf team? Greatest show on turf. If he wants to play that generation, what was that? The 2000 Rams? What year was that?
I'm not 100% sure.
99 Rams?
That was 99.
Rams? What were they the year before in 1998? I bet you they were 4-12.
Yeah, you're right. They were very bad.
And I think Kurt Warner had zero NFL experience the year he stepped in for Trent Green in 1999. Did he need to learn how to win? Or did he step right in, and did they go right to the Super Bowl, and did they win?
Like, yeah, you're right. 4-12, 98 Rams.
They were 4-12. Like, you again, like, there was no learning curve. Did Tom Brady, when he stepped in for Drew Bledsoe, have to learn how to win? Or did he lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl, I think, the following year in 2001 to win the Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Yes.
So we could play the game that I never played a day in the NFL, or we could let history be our guide, and we could say, well, Kurt Warner never played a damn down, really, in a competitive game, and he led a 4-12 Rams team all the way to the Super Bowl because the team was built and they played well. Like, this Bears team doesn't need to learn how to win. This Bears team needs to be built from the ground up. Yurko is giving you meatball takes. That's all he's giving you. I'll take my morning constitution and I'll claim victory because I'm Sylvie and I never played a down in the NFL. But I covered enough teams and enough winning locker rooms to understand what winning teams look like, instead of just talking about the 1996 Jacksonville Jaguars, who, by the way, never won diddly.
By the way, they had Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith on that team. Both were over 1,100 yards receiving that year. They had talent. Mark Brunell was their quarterback. They had talent. They had Tony Boselli was their left tackle. Johnny the Good Kid was your one of your defensive tackles. They had Clyde Simmons on that team. They had Don Davey. They had Tommy McManus, my buddy.
Good thing the professor.
Kevin Hardy.
Good thing the professor of teaching them how to win was in the house. Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin.
Next year, we'll have this conversation. This year's premature.
Good thing the 16-0 Patriots knew how to win, and Eli Manning didn't know how to win. Or else, oh, wait a minute, the Giants beat them.
They did.
Yeah.
They beat them twice, like, didn't again, they? Didn't what's his name? Eli win two twice, Super Bowls at the hands of
football. Well, he learned how to win the first time in the Super Bowl, then he knew how to win.
Yeah.
The
second That's time. True. Once you got the first one, then you knew how to
win. Although he was playing the Patriots, who had won 3 Super Bowls at that point, or 4? They had won 4 Super Bowls at that
Has
point.
Has Johnny responded to your retort?
No, I'm sure he's not. Do you want to debut some songs here? What do you guys want to do?
No, I want to hear you continue to yell at Yurko. That's better. I think it's better than the songs, to be honest with you.
You do? Should we hold them?
From what I understand.
Off? Or are the songs not that good?
No, let's hear them. Damn, let's go.
So, do you want a bad entry?
No, I want to. Okay. Do we have any good ones?
I think we have a couple good ones.
So the deadline is coming up on December 9th. Get your holiday parody songs in ESPNParody.com. How do you spell parody, Waddle?
P-A-R-O-D-Y.
That's right.
You ain't got no alibi.
It's spelled parody, How again?
P-A-R-O-D-Y. You ain't got no alibi.
It's all brought to you by Miller Lite, Toyota, American Sale, Granite Peak Ski Resort, Amaze Light Festival, 19 Crimes Wine, and Country Thunder. Again, the deadline is December 9th. The holiday party is December 16th. We're going to be at Q Bar in Darien, 8109 South Cass Avenue. It's going to be a great time. We've got a Stern pinball machine up for grabs. It's the Mandalorian pinball machine. So make sure you get into the hopper.
And get in the hopper.
Yes.
You got to be in it to win it.
You got to. You got
like the lottery.
2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. A week from Friday. What do we got, boys?
All right, so this one, no doubt, was inspired by our Thanksgiving draft that occurred around this time on Wednesday.
That's right. You missed it, Tyler.
Thanksgiving.
That was funny.
To the tune of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, courtesy of DJ Damro, comes, interesting phrasing there by me, Jeffrey the Post-Meal Sex Man.
What?
He had stuffing and turkey and gravy on potatoes, football, and drank wine, and had some family time. But do you recall his greatest pleasure of all? Jeffrey, the post-meal sex man, gave his wife that sexy look. And if you ever saw it, it leaves all the ladies shook. All of the other show hosts laughed and gave him the side eye. They don't understand poor Jeffrey.
Really? Sex after all that pie?
Then one happy Thanksgiving day, Mrs. Meller came to say, Jeffrey, with your pants so tight, won't you rock my world tonight? Then all the show hosts loved him, gave credit where credit was due. Jeffrey, the post-meal sex man, thank God for Blue Chew.
What's the best way to close it out? I'll go ahead and say, give me sex with my fingers. That's what I'm going to take from the table.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think that the topic was good. I thought there were a couple of good lines in there.
It was cute.
It was cute. I don't think that we'll be discussing this on the day that we crown a winner.
It's wide open right
it
now.
It is, yeah.
The contest is wide open. ESPN,
but I would say that what you just heard there is a good example of what you should do. Take a show topic or one of us and develop a song around
it. How about learning how to win?
Okay, there you go. The good kids, a game plan for learning how to win.
Learning how to win. We need a learning how to win. To what sort of
I don't know. That's up to them, the musically inclined. I'm scrolling for retorts from the good kid.
I don't think he's...
No, he's not. He stopped paying attention.
I think his
attention.
Fingers are too tired. Or does he type with his knuckles? I'm going to get my ass kicked tomorrow, aren't I?
Maybe Yurko's taking the L today so that he could learn how to win the argument tomorrow.
Do we have another
one? We do. This one's courtesy of Pete Gable, not Peter Gabriel, but Pete Gable, to the theme of Walking in a Winter Wonderland comes Watching Fields Run Around.
Fans complain, are you tripping? On the radio, why the dissing? A beautiful sight, our future is bright. Watching fields running round again. His O-line can't protect him, as every defense tries to wreck him. He's still making plays, we should all be amazed. Watching fields running round again. The talent on this roster is a joke, man. But Fields gets up each time they knock him down. He's doing it all alone, just watch the show, man. If you still think he can't play, then you're a clown. next year won't be so dire. Free agent signings will be on fire. Our QB's in place, Green Bay's about to be slayed. Watching Fields running around again.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
These are all like nice, cute songs.
Yeah, good personality.
Yeah, it's like going on a speed dating.
Yeah, I had a nice personality.
I had a nice time.
Yeah, you're a wonderfully nice person.
Better off for meeting you. And I wish you luck.
Hope your life is filled with joy and great things.
I also feel like as we decode things back here, not terrible is radio for terrible.
Nah, that was not terrible.
We've heard terrible. I bet you have an example of terrible.
Do you have a terrible?
I bet you have an example of terrible.
Did you hear a terrible song earlier today?
This was the worst one I've gotten.
Okay, this is terrible.
This is courtesy of Joe Tomasek, Silent Knot.
This holiday, Mallor didn't play my parody. Than when my bear song was funny and original.
This is the part of the contest where I look at you and go, you think that this thing's jumped the shark yet? And then next thing you know, they pour in and they're fantastic or they're better.
And I'm better at singing. Nope. There's no hope of me ever winning.
I think he was spoofing himself.
Yeah,
which
I
was
think
good.
That I do think was like better than you guys. It wasn't. He intentionally was bad. He said, I have no chance of winning. My song sucks, basically.
I'm not sure you even get a hey, but you did great personality on
it
that.
It was
though.
An ironic entry.
Can I tell you, too? Now, that's from Joe Tomasek. The thing is, his other song is sitting on this list, being ready to be played. People are too impatient. They think, oh, I sent it in. It needs to get played that day.
Right.
The truth is, no, Joe.
A lot of nastiness involved with some of the entries.
I have yours on a list of songs to play. However, he has hit a topic that has been hit by a lot of other people, Tom's Toes. And so I don't want to play a bunch of Tom's Toes songs.
Well, you can never go wrong with Tom's Toes.
No, but I don't want to play them on the same day every day, right? Does that make sense? We try
it's
and mix
up to you.
Things up.
Well, you know what? We've given you the creative control here.
I'm just saying some people are too impatient. They assume that their song doesn't get played and it won't get played. That's not necessarily the case.
This is, again, this is the time of the
yes.
contest where
this
I look at you
right.
and go,
yes.
two things,
it's
two thoughts.
Right.
Hey, you think this has jumped the shark?
Right. And I say, yeah. I go, well, you say this every year.
Yeah.
This is where the fans usually
kick it
upon
gear.
Themselves. Okay. So show Waddle that this has not jumped the shark. Enter at ESPNParody.com. It is wide open for you to win that pinball machine from Stern Pinball, the Mandalorian pinball machine. It is in excess of $7,000.
That's a lot.
The best grand prize. So we expect some of the best entries we've ever heard. And then I want in a week from now, Waddle to say, oh, you know, just when I was thinking it jumped the shark, we have received some great songs.
Feels like one of these days I'm going to be right.
All right. So we will crosstalk with Black coming up next.
Who's ready for some Monday Night Football? Jeff Mellor here, friendos, with your Caesars Sportsbook Report. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook app, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Sign up using the promo code RADIOFULL, that's Radio F-U-L-L, and then place your first bet. If you win, that money is all yours. If not, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. Did you play that Turkey Day teaser I gave out? Winner, winner, turkey dinner. Well, how about tonight? We've got the Colts giving 2.5 at home, along with the JT breakout boost that I like. Over 150 yards or more from scrimmage and a touchdown pays out plus 450. Gotta like those odds. And if the Colts are going to win tonight, you have to believe they're riding Taylor to victory. Download that Caesars app today and don't forget to use that promo code RADIOFULL today. Open to new users in Illinois who are 21 or older if qualifying bet loses. Bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Talking about some of the NFL stuff going around. Blex in studio with us. Waddle was talking about the Dolphins.
I believe the team
30 in the first half.
I believe the team total was 30 and a half. They had 30 in the first half and went scoreless in the second half.
I know. I got scared because one of my my like was the Dolphins. I want to say they were like in, what were they, 15?
14.
14?
Yeah.
And like, Lovey's kicking field goals in the second half.
Well, and they had the ball driving, and then what's-his-face, Kyle, I don't even know who his name
turned
is.
Turned it over again?
Turned it Kyle over, Allen. Threw an interception.
They got spooked right before the half when Tua got hit and folded up like a pretzel again. Yeah. And I think they took him out, I want to say, fairly early in the third quarter of that game, where they just sort of took the air out of the ball.
Talking about a bad beat, though. If you have the over total points at the Dolphins, and it's 30 and a half, and you've got 30 in the first half, you're basically cashing your check and going to the bar.
Are you guys are playing the cover five, right? When I saw that that number posted, I was like, oh, come on, Texans. Do a little something there at the back end. Give me something, because every score matters.
Yes.
So, like, even though the Dolphins got off to a huge start.
And I had the Dolphins in that, and I got off to a good start.
How many points did you get out of it?
Like two or
like
whatever
one.
It was.
Like one and
or
half, two, right?
Yeah.
Because they lost by 15, and the number was like 14.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's why the cover five is pretty fun, because even if you either win or lose your bet, the amount that you lose or win by matters to the overall total. So as long as you don't have a blow up, then you can be competitive.
There's two other games where I think that there was some stuff that messed with gamblers. The San Diego game, because weren't they minus three?
And the Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah.
And instead of kicking the field goal and going to overtime and hopefully either pushing or winning, they ended up going by one. And then there was another game.
Unless you're the Cardinals, then you still cover that.
And then Washington and Atlanta. Atlanta was going in to score. They were in the red zone.
And that was a four point spread.
It was a tipped pass. It was intercepted by the Commanders.
Yes. We didn't talk about the Kyler Murray thing at the end, too. Where at the press conference, he talked about schematically we were effed. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did not.
In the press conference, he was throwing the coach under the bus again.
I think,
like, that's a complete blank show.
Yeah, no doubt. Didn't after the first play of their final drive, and all they needed to do was like kill the clock or just keep the clock going and force the Chargers to spend their timeouts. They drop back to pass. And he threw an incompletion. I thought that the time management or the game management of that game was just atrocious.
Let's see play by play.
I thought maybe it was second down or it was first down. I thought that they did something ill-advised, which is what the Cardinals usually do.
They ran first and 10, no yard gain, and the Chargers called a timeout with 2:16 left. And then second and 10, Kyler Murray was sacked. So
they were trying to throw the football,
and he was sacked. So the clock kept running, but then the Chargers used their second timeout.
And then Justin Herbert, they get the ball back. He drives him down for the tutty and two-pointer, and they ended up winning.
I mean, that's really, when you're facing off against a quarterback that skilled, you really have to back time the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to leave, what, less than 50 seconds?
You got to try.
We've seen the Bills in a couple of situations go down in like 17, 20 seconds. If you're going against Mahomes,
the Chiefs have done
it. So
it's crazy.
Great weekend of football. I mean, hey, you guys can say family, you could say health, but there is nothing better in the world than having football for like five straight days.
It's unbelievable.
And no work and just sitting at home. It's the best. It's the absolute best.
The three games on Sunday, two of the three games were really good.
Yeah.
The Vikings-Patriots game turned out to be a great game.
Yeah. Don't forget about Saturday. There was a lot of good football.
I mean, I know
Saturday.
You were watching Saturday night where USC advanced themselves into the college football playoff as long as they win.
Easy.
As long as they win on Saturday.
Well,
who are they playing?
It's Utah, so it's the team
Utah's
that they
good.
Lost to.
Yeah.
It's Friday night in Las Vegas. You know, because the Pac-12 is so smart. Let's give your teams a short week to prepare for
in
an
Vegas.
Opportunity to
go to
the
Vegas.
College football playoff.
Let's go to Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. That'll be good. That's why USC's going to the Big Ten.
So you're solo for 2 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, our peeps will call. That's how we do it. All calls welcome. So we'll talk some football, and we'll talk Bears. And it's Bears-Packers week.
Yes.
Who has the brighter future going forward? The Bears or the Packers? You guys watched the Packers last night?
I did.
Yeah. I did.
Always do.
Okay, they got an Aaron Rodgers problem.
A lot of questions with both franchises at this moment.
Aaron Rodgers problem. So, yeah, I'm gonna talk some Bears-Packers, and we'll be here until late.
All right. Get your holiday parody songs in.
Yeah,
it's wide open.
Step it up.
I heard the songs
today. Don't make
today.
Us cancel this contest after this year.
Your Waddle turn is this bus urging
around.
You to
don't
get this.
Don't make us turn this bus around.
ESPNparody.com. And don't forget, we're going to be at Cody's Public House on Friday. It's Miller time, so a lot going on this week. And Binnie's on Thursday.
Oh,
we
have
a very busy week. Black and Abdallah will be broadcasting from there. And all of the shows will be out there. So, like, not only will Black and Abdallah be broadcasting from there, we'll be selling the and judging few whiskey.
Well, and there will be bottles, few whiskey bottles, with the Waddle and Sylvie logo on it, the Carmen and Yurko logo on
it.
We're
going to shock the
world. Black and Abdallah logo, the Cap and Jay Hood logo. We're all going to be there, and our bottles that we've hand-selected will be available for purchase. So it's pretty cool. You get to come out, get to hang out, and also you could go home with a Waddle and Sylvie bottle of bourbon.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
Shout out the few. It's going
to
be cool.
All right, Blecka on his way. Thank you to Jeff Meller and Tyler Aki. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.